Second Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I want to talk to us this morning about growing in grace. Growing in grace. And that's the Christian life. The Christian life is a growing. Growing in God's grace. It's a growth. And every grace and blessing that God gives unto us comes to us in the form of a seed. The seed of the Word of God, the Bible speaks of. These blessings that God gives, they come to us in seed. And they're put inside the newborn child of God. They're put inside of us. First John spoke of, he said, we have his seed within us. That seed within us. And we cannot sin because his seed is within us. That spiritual man. And so if these seeds are watered and cared for by the believer, it's up to us to do something with that. How we respond, what we do. For the believer to, we need to be in conformity to the Word of God for those things to grow to full maturity, don't we? And I'll say this, you're never going to grow beyond growing. I think some people get to the place they feel like, I've grown all, I know all I'm going to know. I know everything pretty much there is to know about the Bible and the Christian life. You never grow beyond growing. Absolutely not. And I'll never grow beyond growing. None of us, as long as we're here, will grow beyond growing. We must walk in the light. Amen? And if we walk in the light, we will grow healthy and normally to maturity. Amen? God wants us to grow to maturity. And here he tells us something about growing in God's grace. And we'll go through to some other scriptures, but I want to look right here first about what God said about growing in grace. First, we know that it's the scripture that helps us to grow in the grace of God. It's the Word of God. You cannot grow outside of the Word of God. You're not going to. Your relationship with God's Word is the biggest part of your spiritual maturity. How can you grow if you don't know? You've got to know so you can grow. And
he begins to talk about Paul and his epistles because of Paul's spiritual maturity. And he even said that in some of his writings there were things hard to be understood. But he didn't mean for us to not understand them. And look what he said. He said those things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Now, who is it that rests? That means to twist the scripture. That means to make it say something else than it really does. That means to bring about other teaching from it that is not right. To rest the scripture. It is those that are unlearned and those that are unstable. Those that are unlearned are those that are ignorant. Those that do not put in the time to study God's Word. Not just to read it, but to study it. I mean, there's a difference in reading God's Word and studying God's Word. There's a lot of people that have read it and still don't understand it. Still don't understand it. Don't understand the deeper things of God. Are you listening to me? Or they get to the place where they're going to understand so much, and that's as far as they're going to go. They don't want to see anymore. So they're ignorant of it. They're ignorant because they do not want to see anymore of the truth. You and I should never be closed-eyed or closed-minded to the Word of God. If God gives us Scripture, listen, it's for our learning. It's for our growing. He gives us, and He said it, examples. Examples. I've had people tell me, does it say that in the Bible? Does it actually say that? Word for word. Some things it don't say it word for word. But it gives us examples. Gives us many examples. One example after another about a certain truth that God wants us to understand. God says very little sometimes about what will happen to a nation that sins. But you know what? We have a lot of examples of what happens when nations sin against God. We've got more examples in the Bible than we actually do Scripture. Are you listening to me? There's Scripture that tells us what would happen. They'll be cast into hell, all nations that forget God. That should be enough. But God also gives us examples, one after another, time after time. And so it is with other doctrine, with the other ways that God wants us to know about. But some people, they're unlearned. And then there are those that are unstable. Those are the ones that are uncertain about which way they want to go. They're uncertain. They are unstable, which means they don't know if they're going to go all the way holy with God or not. If they're going to separate with God completely or not. If they're going to be consecrated holy for the Lord or not. And so they're unstable. Many are unstable, like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Are you listening to me? It's hard to count on them. Amen? Because they are unstable. And those things will keep you from growing. Being unlearned keeps you from growing. Being undecided keeps you from growing. Amen? I've seen people that had made up their minds about things and then suddenly turned around and went the other way. Their mind had changed suddenly. And whatever their reasoning may be, but if you've ever seen something in God's Word and the Spirit of God has convinced you of it, then he hadn't changed. God wanted you to know about it. He wanted you to understand it. He gave you the reasoning, and he wants you to apply it. Amen? But sometimes we turn back. Many turn back and say, I'm not going to walk that way anymore. And they become unstable because suddenly now things are not as bad as they used to be. They don't see things like they did at one time. Are you hearing me? The light's not shining as brightly to them. The scripture's not as strong or as stout as it one time was. But the Lord says this. They rest these scriptures to their own destruction. Them that are unstable and them that are unlearned. And then he said, ye therefore, beloved, you that are growing, you beloved, you know these things before. Beware, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. See what he said? You beware lest their life, their thinking, what they're doing. Are you listening to me? Beware, he says. God sends us a strong warning as the children of God. Don't get your eye on them. Don't get to wanting what they've got. Don't start pursuing their liberty. Are you listening to me? They're unstable, those that are unlearned, those that are undecided. And he said, you're steadfast. And he tells us in one place, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He said, being led away with the error of the wicked. There are a lot of people today in the last day that are being led away with the error of the wicked. Things, it don't affect us like it one time did, and it should. We should know in our mind, listen, and in our heart, what it is that God's will is for our life. And we should know, as a child of God, according to God's word, if we study it, if we listen to preaching, and if we listen to teaching, and if we're faithful, I'm going to get into something. Unfaithfulness will cause you not to grow. Do you know that? Being unfaithful to the house of God will cause you not to grow. The Bible says this. He says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. See, some, they don't want to assemble together. When you assemble together, you see, God's people assemble together at certain times. And if you forsake that, you're not here. Listen, I've preached this, and you know that I'm as understanding of a pastor I've tried to be. Amen? I'm not picking on anybody this morning. If you've had sickness, if you've had a bad run-in, or you're listening to, I know things can happen. And I know sometimes, especially the older you get, sometimes your body just wears out. You can't go another foot. God, listen, God understands them things. I really believe that. Amen? But listen, when we know we can be here, and we don't. Amen. Unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness to assemble ourselves. You ought to want to be here. And unfaithfulness, it'll cause you not to grow. Why? Because you don't know the temperature of the house of God. You don't know the work that's going on in the house of God. The present work. Amen. The spiritual maturity of the body. Amen. What is being taught. You miss. Amen. You'll miss a meeting you're supposed to be in. I've been in, I don't know how many meetings since I was saved. Since I've been saved, and many of you here have too, where God moved through in a meeting and did something for God's people and sinners got saved. Somebody that really needed it. Maybe more than just somebody. Maybe two or three somebodies that needed it just as bad as everybody was gone. And that time, they missed it. They missed it. They missed that time where the rain was coming down, where the wind was blowing, where God was doing something, amen, that's going to stick with you for eternity. Those meetings when God passes by, the Holy Spirit helps us, amen. It'll strengthen you. It'll grow you. It'll give you roots. It'll give you roots. Amen. There's some things that's happened in my life in God's house that has given me roots. Amen. It makes you stick. It turns you into what you're supposed to be. Amen. I mean, you become one of them forever Christians by the grace of God. Amen. You become one of them ever faithfuls by the help and the grace of God. Amen. It's important that every one of us, listen, we apply ourselves. Every one of us are a part of the effectual working. And we grow. Let me move on. I've got to get on past this. But you don't want to fall from your own steadfastness. Listen, if you're in a steadfast place, and you fall from it, it's a lot harder to ever get back. It's a struggle. It's like a racehorse that stumbles. He may have been in first, but he stumbles, and many go by. And by the time he picks up strength to get stood back up and get to going, in that where he's the last one in the crowd. Are you listening to me? He's behind. He's following afar off, farther off than he realizes that he would. It affects you and I. It affects us. Listen, don't fall from our own steadfastness. Now the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 2, he speaks of us growing as a church. Growing as a church. In Ephesians 2 and verse 19 through 22, he said, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple." Groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Listen, we're no more strangers. We're not completely alien anymore. Amen? We're no more foreigners. That's those close dwellers, those by dwellers. Close, but not national. I'm talking about the church now. Do you know that there's people that's aliens right inside the church? Did you know that there's bi-dwellers? I mean, they're close, but they're not a national. You listen? Religious, but not saved. But fellow citizens, that means you're a native. God says, you're no more strangers and foreigners, amen, but fellow citizens. You and I have been made fellow citizens, amen, a native with the saints. He wants you to know what a saint is. You know what a saint is? It's that's sacred, pure, blameless, holy, and then it also says it is he that is consecrated from an awful thing. Consecrated from an awful thing. You see, God took you out of an awful thing, John. Took you from an awful thing that you were. Took me from the awful thing that I was. Amen. From the awful condition that we were in. We were in an awful condition. David said, I was in the miry clay. Amen. I was in bad shape. You and I were brought out of that awful condition and set apart, sanctified for God's purpose. That's a saint. You're the saints of God. You're the treasure in God's house. Amen. The saved people. You're that. You're that. Amen. Sacred. Those of the household of God, he says. Those of his own house. Those of the household of God. Those of his own house. That's what a household is. My household, those of my own house. Those of the household of God. Those of his own house. Now are we the sons and daughters of God. And look what he said. In verse 20, here's how we grow. Build, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles. The apostles are our foundation. The apostles are our foundation. They're the foundation of the church. Amen? Their teaching and their preaching. Not my own belief. The writings in this book. These scriptures. Amen? Those holy men of God as they spake. Amen? God inspired them to write to you and I epistles to the church. Letters to the church to tell us who we are and what we are and how we walk and how we live. They're our foundation. If you can't get that right, amen, you've got to be on the right foundation. Foundation of the apostles. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I like that one. Jesus Christ himself. No other. He's the chief cornerstone. Amen. Not Peter. Like the Sunday school teacher said, not a pope. They want to say they're the foundation stone, the cornerstone. Oh, Jesus Christ himself. Amen. He is the chief cornerstone. And he said in verse 21 that in whom all the building, we are all the building, fitly framed together, groweth. He's telling us how to grow as a church. We've got a foundation, a cornerstone. We're fitly framed together. You know, over in chapter 4, verse 16, it says, fitly joined together. That's those things that bring you and I together. Those things that put us together. There's things in the church that frame us together. Brings a unity. Standing up here singing together. Praying together. Joining together. What we're doing together. Listen, if you're a child of God, you're not a black sheep in here. Are you listening to me? Well, I'm not like everybody. You are a part of the church. You're as much a part of the church as the next saved person. Amen? And you're here to grow with us. We're here to grow with you. Amen? Growing up together. That's what the Bible says. He wants us to grow together. Grow together. And it takes God's word. It takes a good foundation. Amen. It takes you and I being fitly framed together. All the building, the fellow citizens, the saints, the household of God, the building framed together, groweth up into an holy temple. All these things that speak of us as a body, growing as a church, builded. Verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together. Why? For an habitation of God. You know why we grow? You know why we grow together? We go together that we'll be a temple of God to inhabit. That God would be us, amen. That God would be pleased to meet with us, to meet in us, to meet in all of us at the same time, to meet in the temple, to meet where the church is. Amen. I can have church at home. You sure can. You can pray toward this place. You want to be a loner, or you want to be in the temple with God's people? Oh, the effectual working. Chapter 4, he says in verse 11, how we grow. We grow together. We grow as a church. We grow from as a seed. We grow as a seed. We grow from what God gives us. He gave some apostles. Early church grew by them, and some prophets and evangelists and some pastors. You know, you can't grow without a pastor. You need a pastor in your life. Worse than you realize. You may not want me as your pastor. Well, find a pastor. You need a pastor. And I'm not saying that mean. You need a pastor. I'm it here in this place. I need to be your pastor if you're here. You need a pastor. You need to go search the book and look it up and find out what a pastor is supposed to be to you. Amen? Because he's here for your growth. Here for your instruction. Here for your help, here to build you up, amen. Here to guide you spiritually, to give you the truth, amen. He's here to teach you, give you the milk, give you the meat, lead you to the Lord, amen. Help your family. You need a pastor and teachers. You need somebody to teach you. You need Sunday school worse than you think. You need a teacher. You ain't got too big for teaching. You think just teaching's for the little kids? No, it's for the grown-ups too. You need a teacher. God don't give us teachers for no reason. I'll take the preaching, not the teaching. You need both. You need both. Why do I need both, Brother Mark? Because you're so fleshly. That's why. We need it. We've got flesh to deal with. Amen? We've got a world to deal with. We've got a devil to deal with. We've got our flesh to deal with. We need teachers. We need preachers. Amen. He gave us them for our growth. Let me show you. It's in the context. For the perfecting of the saints. To bring you to perfection. He gave you pastors and teachers to perfect you. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. See, the ministry can't work without teachers and preachers. and without saints. For the edifying of the body. It's all for the edifying of the body. Listen, this church is not just here for my edification. It's here for your edification. Let's go on. And you need to be edified to grow. You must be edified to grow. Listen, some people, and I've seen this in camps, some people can grow on hard preaching. I mean, the more you preach against sin, boy, I'm telling you, they can yell and shout and scream. Listen, you can't just grow all on that. Good, grow on it. Grow on it. You need to grow on Christ. You need meat. That's the milk. People think that's, you know, the meat. No, that's the milk. That's the basic stuff. Hey, man, that's elementary school. We're talking about college now. Hey, man, we're talking about the deep things of God. We're talking about Christ Himself. Amen, the Savior. The one, amen, the one. And who? How can we know Him? Amen. Who can find out God? Answer that big question. Who can find Him out? The Almighty. That's who Christ is. Amen, He's the Almighty. Bless His name. And it's all for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith. Listen, we need to all be believing the same thing to grow. And I am surprised when I get to talking to people on permanent, on personal levels, just how much they don't believe like the church. Even like this covenant says. Basic things that are in this covenant. I talk to people and these things in there, Brother Jerry Lee, they're way off in left field about. And they sit among us. They sit among us. And God tells us to beware because that'll hinder your growth. It'll pull you down. And He tells us that we henceforth, verse 14, be no more children tossed to and fro. See, as a child, you can be tossed to and fro. God wants you to grow up beyond childhood. Not to be tossed to and fro. Amen. Carried about with every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. So you and I need to be grounded. That's why I told you the Word of God is so important to you. To ground you so you can grow. That seed that you receive, you need to water it. You need to nurture it. You need to protect it from fowls. Trying to pick it off the good ground. Amen? Yes, you do. And you need to watch. We get into Matthew 13. He talks about the seed coming in. And it sprung up. Why? Because it took root. Amen? And in the context, he's talking about that good seed, and if you read it, you just know naturally there's bad seed there. And then he begins to talk about tares, springing up. That's what comes from the bad seed. And you know who was it that sowed the bad seed? Evil men, while men slept. Amen? The enemy. The enemy. The enemy came in. The enemy came in while men slept. We don't need to sleep. We don't need to sleep. Yes, you can't grow sleeping all the time. While men slept, the enemy came in and sowed them. Amen. Sowed them. The enemy comes from a primary word. Ecto means to hate. You know the devil hates what's going on right here. He doesn't want you to know about growing this morning. He wants your mind on your stomach. He wants your mind on something else, anything else besides growing. Growing in the Lord. Because he's just talking about the scripture. He's just talking about the word of God. And listen, you need to get a good, sound relationship with God's word. And with God's people. With God's people. Spend some time with God's people. The tares. You know what the tares do? I looked up what tares do. Do you know in the tips of them, they've got a poison that causes lethargy, sleep, and even death? That's what tares do. They're there to make people just lethargic or sleepy. Or even bring death. Oh God, have mercy. An enemy comes in and sows them. You can read in Matthew 3 or Matthew 13, verse 3 through 9, he talks about that seed being sown. And you can see where he's talking about growth, worldliness. Will keep you from growing. Remember them thorns that choked up what was sprung forth? Thorns choked it out, gouged it. That's worldliness, worldliness, lustfulness, sinfulness, worldliness. Those things will hinder you and keep you from growing. The child of God needs to be separated unto the Lord and unto God's holiness. It is a growing. You and I should be ever striving to be more holy, not be less. You should be changing. Every year you should be changing. You should be growing. You should be more holy. You should be more mature. You shouldn't have the same hot temper you had 5 years ago. Amen. Let God do some things with those carnal parts of our life. Because those are the things that will hinder you from growing. Those things you have to do away with. You have to make a decision. Quit being unstable. Decide, I'm going to go with God. I'm going to go with God and I'm going to go with God's way and I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to put my hand to the plow and look back. I'm not going to walk out of Sodom and then look back. More examples. Look what he says. I'm about done. We need this. In Ephesians 4, I'm just going to read it down. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, that's where it comes from, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Remember that fitly framed in the previous chapter? Now we're fitly joined. That's those things that pull us together. And compacted by that which every joint supplieth. You know what that is? That every joint supplieth. That's a contribution from every part. What do you contribute to the growth of this church? What do I contribute to the growth of this church? What do I do to contribute to the spiritual and physical growth of this church? That's what he's talking about. Every joint supply according to the effectual working. And that's a word, energeia. It means that's the energy that brings the strong operation. See, God don't want us just operating. He wants us operating strong. And there's the energy. Amen. The effectual working, the energy in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That energy, not our own energy. Energy, the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Allowing the dynamos, as Brother Milton Taylor used to say, the power of God, the dynamos working in us. Amen. Causes us to grow. I want you to stand.